God bless you. I'm Todd Sensich, and I'm going to be sharing on the topic of freedom from fear, love. I'd like you to take your Bibles and please turn to Leviticus 26. Being free from fear doesn't mean we aren't tempted with fear, but in the midst of it, we keep moving toward our goal. We keep moving forward in the direction God would have us to go. Fear permeates our culture today. The systems and methods of the world are designed to deter us from carrying out God's word using fear. Old Testament examples such as Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Elisha, Mordecai, Esther, David, all faced situations where they potentially could have had fear or been tempted with fear. Yet their love and respect for God carried them through and gave them strength and courage. Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. God is always good. His path is always good. He tells his children of Israel what not to do, basically idolatry, and it'll lead them down the wrong path, resulting in horrible things. Then he tells them what to do. Keep the Sabbaths, reverence the sanctuary, walk in my statutes, keep commandments. And the result is then you shall have prosperity, peace, and nothing shall make you afraid. Peace is an unhindered connection between God and men, where man is the variable and God is the constant. When we are at peace with God, we will have no fear and have the courage to move. Fear makes us freeze in our tracks. It leads to inaction on the world, on the word. Fear was not in the original paradise. Adam and Eve were in perfect alignment and harmony with God spiritually. The first time man was afraid was Genesis 3:10 when he disobeyed God. They lost the spiritual connection with God, where Adam said he heard the voice of the Lord and he was afraid and hid. For the first time, man was naked and afraid. Why? They lost their spiritual connection with God and had to rely on their senses. While they walked in alignment and harmony, they were not subject to fear. Fear puts you in subjection. When we get to the place when we know that God is our partner, we will have no fear. As a child, I grew up in a neighborhood where they were doing quite a bit of construction, and there were a lot of empty houses and empty lots, and in some areas where they were doing construction was a lot of building, but there wasn't a lot of people around. And I was riding my bike, and I got quite a ways from my house, and I ran into three other boys that were my age or probably a little older. I was about 10 at the time, and they weren't from the area that I was from. And as kids do, they start calling names, and next thing I know, they wanted to fight with me. And so I was riding my bike as fast as I could, and they took off after me, and they were chasing me down. And it was, if you've seen the movie Karate Kid, where the boys are chasing Daniel LaRusso around, it was kind of like that. I was running for my life. I was very afraid. Because these three boys seemed very perturbed and angry. And I was riding my bike and I was heading back home. My goal was to get home, and that was all I could think about at the time. And I came around a corner and I saw my house, and there was my dad in the front yard. And when I saw my dad, my fear I had tended to drop quite a bit. And across the street from my house, right where across from where my dad was standing, there was some silt of some soil that had, like some dust that had come from the construction area. So what I did was I laid my bike down in that soft soil area, landed on my feet, and I took a stand. And I confronted the three boys who were chasing me. I didn't wait for my dad to get involved. I jumped in right away and confronted these myself. And the reason I bring this up is because, to me, it's a great lesson of how when we know God is backing us up, we will have no fear. When we realize that He is in us and with us, we know that there's no situation that can overthrow us. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." A snare is a trap. It's a bait to lure us away from walking with God. There's endless distractions in the world today, temptations to get us to focus on anything but God. Fear leads to inaction on what God would have us to do. Remember, God always backs us up, and there's a corresponding benefit and result. It says in Hebrews 13:5, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And I felt very much that way when my dad was there in that incident when I was being confronted by those other young boys. Proverbs 3:25-26 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." And many of us are familiar with Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." And when it says them, it's referring to people. Joshua was going to be leading Israel, really, into an area where there were people in these lands. And God said, "Go into these lands and inhabit these lands and possess these lands." And as they did that, they would have to run across people. And God's telling them, "Be not afraid of them," the people. And listen to the rest of the verse. It says, "For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." I'd like you to also take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy 1. Fear, or a perception of fear, can build up in our minds, but we continue down the path we know God would have us to go down. Have you ever blown anything out of proportion in your mind? You've made a mountain out of nothing. You've made a huge issue out of something that was very minor, and then the issue is resolved, and then you go, "Why was I feeling like that?" Well, many times we do that in our mind because of fear or a perception of fear. The Spirit of God in each one of us is the potential, the strength, the ability to carry out His will. The result of Jesus Christ fulfilling the law and redeeming us is now enables us to have a full measure of the Spirit of God in us, a permanent, unbreakable connection. If you really believe that, if you really believe that God is with you, if you really believe that He will not leave you nor forsake you, fear will not bind you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." So when we do have fear, we know it comes from somewhere else. It's not of God. But what did God give us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is timidity or cowardice or dread to do something. Power is the spiritual ability that we have. When He says He gave us power, love, and a sound mind, the first thing He gave us is the spiritual potential that we have to be conquerors in these situations, to stand for Him with the strength and energy. And finally, a sound mind. In the Greek text, this is from the Greek word, which means temperate, sane, curbing one's desires and impulses, self-controlled. Fear and love cannot exist at the same time. The motivation of love paves the way for us to have courage and strength to act for him. And this is carried all the way through to completion across the finish line. It's not the courage to get started, which is included, yes, but it's the courage to complete, to finish, to accomplish what God would have us to do. We start by taking the first step with conviction out of love. Next, I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John 4. Working in corporate America, companies screen candidates for certain positions, especially in sales. I've done this for years, taken part of the entrance exams, as well as trying to screen for attributes of top performers. How companies do this is they do it by interviewing top performers, looking for attributes and characteristics common to the group. Next, they develop questions that will be used to pre-screen candidates to determine if they're a good fit. And one of the questions always blew my mind when they asked it, when I found out what the result they were looking for was. Here's the question. What motivates you more? The rewards and accolades of being a top performer or fear of failure? And if you guessed fear of failure, you would be right as far as what corporate America was looking for. If you look at these people too, it's not always obvious on the surface. They have a great way of covering it up, or you don't see it. But deep down below the surface, many people are afraid of losing their jobs. They're affected and they're motivated and controlled by this fear. Obviously, we want to have a new motive. We want to have a superior motive to that. And we don't want to be subject to fear to be able to succeed in corporate culture. Our culture is saturated with fear. It's in politics, arts, business, advertising, broadcasting. 1 John 4:18 has a tremendous verse that can really set us free when we really believe the truth of the word. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love." How much fear? None. Absolutely none. Zero. Zilch. But perfect love casteth out fear. But, as we know, sets in contrast that which precedes. So you've got no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Action on the word cures fear, and love is the motivation, the driving force behind our actions. We remember God's love for us and the works of his Son, Jesus Christ. The temptation of fear, or a brief thought of it, may arise. But the love of God and the love for God in our heart gives us the strength and courage to move. A question I always ask myself is, did Jesus Christ act this way? Did he act out of love? Did his love for God encourage him to do the will of his Father? And the answer is obvious. And everything Jesus Christ did was out of love for his Heavenly Father. And also, he thinks about the love that he has to carry out his will. I think about that in relation to how a parent is with his child, and how a child wants to make his parents proud because he loves his parents. The motivation is because the child loves them. There's no coincidence in his word. God describes himself, and it gives himself the attribute of a father. When Jesus Christ chased the money changers out of the temple, was he acting out of love? Yes. That may not seem like a very loving thing to do as far as how the world defines love, but spiritually it was. It's having the love in our heart and his word in our heart and moving in the direction that he would have us to go. As a mind can only think one thought at a time, so remember what God's word says about ourselves, about others, about situations, about the future, or any other scenario that could possibly come up. When we have God at our side, as our partner, we remember that as we live, no matter what situation we are in, he is with us and in us in every situation. We need not be bound to fear. Fear is beneath us spiritually. So I exhort you to live above fear. Being the Son of God, you are acting out of his word, out of love. God bless you.